Well, church, if you would find on page 823, we are going to read the first part of Mark's gospel together, Mark 10. And the kids, if the kids that would like to come over here, I have a little project, like Pastor Jeremiah said, if they want to just come on over while we're reading that together, I will join you in just a moment. But grown-ups, we're going to read together a few verses here, starting with verse 32 and going through 34. And grown-ups, if you want a coloring sheet, you can sure grab one too. We're going to do something with it in just a moment. But we're going to first read a portion of Mark's gospel together. Then I'm going to pause, give the kids some instruction. Then we'll come back and finish the reading that's up on the screen here together. But let's read together verses 32 through 34. They were on the road going to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside again and began to tell them what was going to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit upon him, and flog him, and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again." Put your finger in that spot. We'll continue in just a moment. So friends, thank you for coming over here. I want you to grab a few coloring sheets. You're welcome to stay right here. We're going to make a big poster. You see, the kids at the first service have started this. And the poster's name is God Loves. God Loves. So you can write names of people that you know that God loves. And the reason why we're making that poster today is that God sent Jesus to us because God wanted to make sure that God's love is deeper and wider and stronger than anything else in the whole world. And God's love is going to carry us through. I'm going to talk about something kind of sad in the sermon today. Many of you maybe have lost a pet or lost a grandma or a neighbor. And when we are sad, God is sad too. But God's love will carry us through that time because God has found a way to not have us be sad forever. And I'm going to share that a little bit. So if you could make one poster to take home or to bless somebody in the congregation with, and then if you'd put one of your coloring sheets on the God Loves poster, that would be great. And then we'll hang that up to remind everyone about God's love. Okay? Great. Is that George? God loves George. Perfect. You got it. All right. Okay, church, let's continue reading in Mark's gospel here. And what I want you to pay attention to now that we have that introduction from Mark 10 is now who sees in the text who Jesus really is and is what Jesus has come to do and who can't see. And the irony here is intentional today in Mark chapter 10. And I'm just going to have you read a portion again with me, but I'll start out. So Jesus just talks about what's going to happen to them, what's going to happen to him. They're on the road to Jerusalem. And then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." Read verse 36 with me. And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" Okay, good question. And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one on your right hand and one at your left in your glory." They're talking about the new kingdom that he's talking about here. And Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And the brothers said, "We are able." And then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." Now, when the 10 other disciples heard this, they again began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Then the disciples and Jesus came to Jericho on their way to Jerusalem, and he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth walking by, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And then he sternly ordered Bartimaeus to be quiet. And he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling to you." So Bartimaeus, throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Read verses 51 and 52 with me. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Church, what is it you want Jesus to do for you? What do you want Jesus to do for you? Here's the question that Jesus invites us into today. Jesus invites us into a deeper relationship with this tender question that he asks the disciples and this blind man and you and me. What is it you want me to do for you? And I hope you do have an answer. I hope there is something that sprung up in your heart or your mind when you hear this question from Jesus, invitation for Jesus. And I hope we are a church that's not just invited to come and sit, but to come and see. Come and see who God is, who Jesus is, what God wants Jesus to be and become for you and for me. Our theme this year, "Be Thou My Vision," challenges us to start seeing as God sees. And we dive into this text in the chapter of 10 in Mark, deep into this Lenten journey now, faced with a very hard topic, death. Lent in some ways is seen as a death march to the cross with Jesus. And as we are on the road with Jesus to Jerusalem, we also have to take a look at our own death. Now, this isn't an easy topic. It's not an easy thing. Death is so hard and so heavy. Those who experience the death of a close loved one knows how much death hurts, how painful it is, what a deep loss it feels like. It totally changes your life, and for some, it changes your world view. And the reality of death is all around us. I mean, waking up again this morning to more coronavirus news, right? It's everywhere. It is to be, the message is to be well and avoid death. I don't want death numbers to rise anywhere. And so we hear this message about death. And in our social media and in our books that we read for entertainment and things that we watch, death is everywhere. In fact, some have said we're so saturated in horrific death that we're kind of numb to understanding what it really means, what it really feels like. Avoidance and violence. But our culture doesn't want to deal with death. It's not something we talk about with our friends and our neighbors, not even with our spouses and our kids and our families, the ones who would be affected the most when we die. It is like a topic that we want to avoid too. It's taboo. It's something that we don't want to talk about because perhaps then we are going to die. And we will die. And many have said to me, like, have you done some talking, some planning about your own death, your own wishes, your own thoughts? Many, many people have said, like, it doesn't matter to me. I'm going to be dead. Yep, that's true. But then you leave your family who is deeply grieving the loss and wishing they had a roadmap, wishing they knew something about what you would prefer, how you would like us to handle ourselves. So why are we afraid of death? Why are we afraid to talk about it, to mention it, to plan for it, to organize for it? Why are we so opposed to doing that? I mean, as faithful Christians, why are we afraid to broach this topic? I mean, it's why Jesus gathered us all here today. Jesus starts out in the Gospel of Mark chapter 10 telling us that he's going to die. Jesus gathers the disciples, and this is the third time Jesus is trying to prepare them that I'm going to die, my friends, and it's going to be sooner than later now. We're almost to Jerusalem. And Jesus says, friends, I want you to hear me and see death as God sees. Not as this world sees death, but as God sees death. And Jesus lays this all out for the third time, and the disciples say, hey, Jesus, we have something we want you to do for us. Make us great in your next kingdom. You know that one you're talking about after you die? Like, can we sit at your right hand and your left? Can we be great? I mean, we've dropped everything to follow you. Can you do this one thing for us? Make us great. And of course, they miss the whole point. They can't see what Jesus' life means and can't see what Jesus really wants to do for them. It's the unlikely character in Mark 10. It's the outcast. It's the one that no one wants to deal with on the roadside. He happens to have a name in Mark's gospel, Bartimaeus. He's a blind beggar that sits along the road day and night. Everyone knows Bartimaeus. And he hears that Jesus, son of David, a title of Nazareth, is coming down the road. And this unlikely character, but beloved child of God, yells out, son of David, have mercy on me. He doesn't ask to be great. He asks for God's mercy, an undeserved gift that God grants God's people. Have mercy on me, Lord, so that I can see. Yes, see the physical world as you all see, but also perhaps see as God sees. Get a different view of God's kingdom, what God is up to through this Jesus of Nazareth as they walk this road to Jesus' death on a cross in Calvary. I mean, Bartimaeus does receive his sight. That's how this text wraps up. And he is able to see just in time for everything that Jesus just predicted to happen to happen. Bartimaeus' eyes are open just in time to watch Jesus get arrested and beaten and tried and killed on a cross. Not exactly what you want your eyes open to see. And again, that's how we feel too. We kind of want to be blind to it all. We don't want to face it or see it or talk about it or imagine it. It's too painful or hard. But church, that's exactly why Jesus came. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asks us. Die for us. So so that we know what happens to us in our death. Take the sting away. Take the shame away. Take the fear away. Die for us, Jesus. Open our eyes. Show us the way. Help us to see as God sees death, not how a culture sees death. And it is a new way. It is the way. It is a way to get through the hardship of death and enter into everlasting life. Death leads to new life, resurrected life. That's what our church stands for. That's why God's people continue to gather now that Jesus is no longer here. We are a place of death and resurrection. That is our sole purpose, the root, our specialty in the community and to the world. And it's all rooted in what the kids are helping me with, God's great love. If God didn't love us, if God didn't care, if God wasn't sad when we're sad and God didn't know what was going to happen after death, he just thought, okay, maybe it is just an end. Good luck. Have fun down there. No, God says, I have more in store for you. God says, I love you so much that I'm going to give you birth, and after you die, redeem what I have created. And in a world that fears death, thinks that it's just an end, I'm going to enter in, and I'm going to have a word for you, and that word is Jesus Christ. And Jesus is going to show you a way through death to new life. We understand death as painful and sad, but in God's eyes, if we can see like God sees, it is a way to eternal life. There is a way, a path, a plan. God sees it clearly. Jesus talks about it plainly to us, like in our text, but what do you see? What do you see? Do you see death as an end? Or do you see death as a way to new life? God's way. So that we aren't afraid of what is to happen to us, and we aren't afraid of being stuck in our pain and grief and loss and sadness forever. Death will not be the final word. Death will not be the final word. Not in God's vision. Not for Jesus. And not for you. So may we open our eyes to answer this question. What do you want me to do for you, church? And we can respond, show us mercy, Lord. Show us that you are the way to eternal life. And may we live like the blind man, open to God's healing, touching our lives, giving us clearer vision to see as God sees and to follow Jesus, who is the way. Amen. If today's the day I inspire you to talk about death, plan your funerals. I have some helps in the office. Darla's in there today. You can help yourself. Make some notes on it if you haven't already. Share it with some loved ones and give them this hope and promise that God has for us too.